This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Philip. Now, the Beijing Winter Olympics will commence this weekend without the attendance of many Western leaders following diplomatic boycotts of the games by the US, UK, Australia and Canada, among others. But that vacuum will be filled by Russian President Vladimir Putin, who's expected to attend the opening ceremony tomorrow and meet with his counterpart Xi Jinping in a show of solidarity.
Now, this is the first meeting between the two leaders in 2 years, and it comes at a time when neither are in the good books of the US. China and Russia have long-standing friendly relations that have strengthened in recent years amid their respective antagonistic ties with the US. China recently voiced support for Russian security concerns and tensions between Ukraine and Russia, which has become a primary focus for Western leaders over the past few months.
So what can we expect from Friday's meeting between these two leaders? For a better understanding of Sino-Russian relations, we speak to Alexei Muraviev, Associate Professor of National Security and Strategic Studies at Curtin University. Alexei, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. How should we understand the close relations between Russia and China? Is this due to their shared history as communist states, or is it more because they share a common rival, i.e. the U.S.?
That both of them challenged the U.N. global supremacy and effectively denied the United States the right to be the global leading power unites their course. Their history has been quite complex, and given the fact that Russia right now is a communist capitalist nation, and obviously China still endorses capitalist ideology, the ideological discourse is no longer working as it used to work back in the 50s. But there is also a pragmatic realization that the two nuclear powers and the two major powers share a common boundary, and in fact one of the longest borders in the world. So the need for them to have good neighborly relations, also based on the fact that they had problematic relations in the past, also kind of drives them forward. So it's a mix of needs to be nice to one another, but also something that unites them, like the challenge in the United States.
So it really sounds like out of necessity. Can you help us understand where are the areas of cooperation?
Well, they're pretty broad. Obviously, China needs Russia's resources. China needs Russia's technology expertise, especially when it comes to building up Chinese military capability, because Russia provides the Chinese military with the edge, with the operational experience and access to technologies that the Chinese can get from their Western counterparts. Russia obviously wants China's market and China's investment, just like China wants Russia market. So there are strong economic incentives, and obviously the fact that their bilateral trade exceeded 100 billion, and that kind of mark was achieved within a period of 3 or 4 years when the countries decided that their trade had to be increased. Geopolitically, that they are aligning in their united course. They have obviously common interests across broader Asia as well as Eurasia. There are areas where they continue to compete, but they choose to avoid hard competition rather than soft competition because they don't want to be played against each other as China used to do, back in the Cold War days. So, and even though there is no longer ideological incentives for them to unite, they still kind of are brought together on the basis of traditional values. So I think their challenge of the West is not just about geopolitical contest with the United States and its allies. It's also about value-based competition.
So how significant is the meeting between President Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin this weekend on the sidelines of the Winter Olympics? What do you expect the leaders will actually discuss?
Look, I mean, this is very significant meeting because, first of all, Russia-China relations, it's a lot about symbolism, and it's obviously this is going to be a symbolic meeting, which would be of equal value to both sides. For Russia, it's a way of showing to the West that they are not alone, that they have friends and strong support, even though the Chinese kind of resorted their support for Russia's actions around Ukraine just to public rhetoric. But equally for the Chinese, having Russia's President Vladimir Putin there is really important. As you mentioned, China came under political boycott because of alleged human rights violations, but also Xi Jinping will be facing a massive challenge down the track later on when the 20-party Congress, CCP Congress, will be held in September this year, which may be a challenge to his authority. So having the backing of Russia's president, which is incredibly popular in China, is as important to Xi as the backing of Xi for Putin in the context of its current standoff with the West over Eastern Europe.
So the meeting this Friday is going to be very symbolic, but I think a lot of attention from the world is going to be on how they position themselves vis-a-vis the Russian-Ukraine standoff. And so how do you think China is going to do, given that China has strategic economic ties with Ukraine as well?
Look, the Chinese lost a lot when there was a regime change, and the Chinese lost a lot when Russia annexed Crimea, because the Chinese were investing a lot in the infrastructure projects in Crimea, including the port infrastructure. But clearly, the Chinese will continue to back Russia politically because they would probably expect a favor from Russia with respect to Taiwan. We should be mindful that China may use the current preoccupation with the West over Ukraine and their focus on Russia at the moment to further their interests in our part of the world. So the fact that the Chinese stage an aerial incursion in Taiwan not long ago is an indication that the Chinese would probably want to pursue their policies. And coming back to your earlier question, what we can expect from this meeting, both sides indicated that a major announcement is forthcoming, and we can speculate whether it's going to be an announcement of a formal alliance or a major economic deal or something else. But clearly, when the two presidents meet, it shouldn't be about exchanging pleasantries. It should be about delivering some outcome. So we should be expecting something coming from Russia and China, something that is both symbolic but also something that is strategic, because obviously the timing of the meeting is crucial, as I said to you before, for both parties.
What do you think is the U.S.'s response to this Russia-China alliance then?
Look, I mean, the United States is increasingly concerned about the prospect of China and Russia aligning because they cannot simply challenge both countries. They would be way too overstretched. And I think the current standoff over Ukraine is actually demonstrating some limitations to the United States, because by default they drop themselves in the corner by effectively saying that Russia is doomed to invade Ukraine, etc. And the more they apply pressure on Russia, the more they will push the Russians towards the Chinese. And that would be a nightmare scenario for the West, because China right now still has limitations, even though it's showing enormous progress as a developing superpower. But with Russia's support and backing, the Chinese can achieve so much more, and this is something the United States is desperate to avoid. So they're still trying to ensure that if there are any weaknesses or any points of potential divide between Moscow and Beijing, they will try to exploit them. But that's what also the Chinese and the Russians understand, and that's what also unites them in their united resolve against the Americans. So the game is on, and certainly the stakes are really high.
Does this mean that the world is effectively being divided into two in terms of the power base? So you have Russia and China on the left, and then perhaps US, Europe, and certain Asian countries on the right?
Look, I think it would be a bit more complex than that, because we're no longer going to, I think, live through the period of what the international relations experts describe, the period of bipolar system where there would be two principal poles of power. I think the multipolarity is the order of today and certainly tomorrow. Russia, China, the United States are now considered to be the principal leading global power centers of influence. Europe has far lesser influence and far lesser political leverage because it's effectively very much dependent on the United States, certainly geopolitically and militarily. So if there's going to be any sort of drifting towards major centers of power, it would be this new Anglo-Saxon alliance, the AUKUS, which also brings Australia and the United Kingdom together with the United States on one hand. There is Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is led by Russia and China. And there are a variety of other alliances and networks. But I think what we would see in the forthcoming future is actually the transformation of the nature of relationship. I think commitments that we have seen back in World War II, World War I, and the Cold War days, I think would become a matter of the past. I think countries would tend to exercise greater flexibility. They're not going to throw themselves under one camp unless they would be ideologically united with a superior power or will become entirely dependent on the hegemonic players. So I think it's a bit hard to predict how the future relations, global relationship will look like, but it's only going to be based around these three poles of power. And it's not to say that Russia and China will be united forever, just like it's not to say that the West will remain united forever. So we're certainly entering the age of uncertainty.
Alexei, very quickly, we've got 30 seconds left on the clock. What is the likelihood of Russia actually invading Ukraine? And if that happens, do you think they'll be supported by China's military aid?
No, I don't think that the Chinese will throw any military aid simply because the Russians don't need it. But the chances of Russia invading Ukraine at this moment are very slim.
All right. Thank you, Alexei. That was Alexei Muraviev, Associate Professor of National Security and Strategic Studies at Curtin University, talking to us about the Sino-Russian relationship, what to expect from the meeting between Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin on Friday.
Very interesting, right? 1970s ping-pong diplomacy. U.S. Richard Nixon, Henry Kissinger going to China to basically find an alliance to put pressure on Russia. How the tables have turned.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.